I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get through the maze of
wires
to figure out where I'm connected. Well,
you have come to the wrong place.
A little.
Yeah. Did you get it a little bit?
Nope, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It'll take me a while to go through the maze of wires.
Are we still here? Oh, wait, there we go. Did you hear that?
Yes,
we
I
want
did.
Everybody to hear us, too.
I did.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Well, anyway, here we are. Let me do a little introduction here. This is the torrential voice of your local announcer, Tom Fitzmaurice. And here we are with The Food Show. The whole idea of The Food Show is very simple. We talk about food. I mean, that's it. It's the long and the short of it. So glad to have you here. I'm glad you could get away from just the all of the torrential. I mean, that, there's no other word for it. It's really pouring down. What are you laughing about?
I'm laughing at you. You're like a little grandmother with the weather. Like a little 95-year-old woman with the weather.
Isn't this wonderful?
Always have been.
At least you know where I'm coming from.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, I don't know why.
I'm the wife, by the way. Hi.
Huh?
I'm the wife, by the way.
You're the wife?
Yes, remember
Boy,
me?
That's a long thought to consider.
So.
Well, anyway, where was I? I just, here you are.
You could have been too far because you just got on the air 30 seconds ago.
We are on Tuesday. We've got that figured out.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
figured out. And we have had some thunderbolts of the kind that you actually can feel against your skin. Which I do over here. I mean, I don't do it on purpose, although it's pretty nice, you know, in a funny sort of way. And then you are, you know, you're walking around and trying to figure it out and hoping that everybody can hear it or hear something. And
fascinating though this is.
Yeah. Well, I'm
let's
reaching
start
around
talking
for,
about food.
Yeah. Let's see. Let me give you a little factoid.
Mm.
Today
I love
is,
factoids.
You do?
Oh, I forgot all your other factoids. I have to go get them in the kitchen.
You did?
Yeah.
And I go through all that trouble and
I know, I see. I just left it on the kitchen counter. That's all.
Today is the birthday of Tori McPhail.
Oh, happy birthday, Tori.
You know who he is, don't you?
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the really famous local chefs here and one of the guys who, whenever he turns up in another city somewhere and gets to show off well, I make it sound like it's a horrible thing. He deserves every little stroke of talent that he has. But Tori McPhail is the executive editor, executive chef of Commander's Palace, and you just don't get a lot better than that. Although, you know what, Marianne?
Yes, what?
Since I brought up Commander's Palace and how they are reputed, at the very least, to be the most highly considered restaurant in the whole area. Do you think it's fair? Do you think it's?
Oh, you know, I was hoping that you weren't going down that road because I am not qualified to love Commander's Palace.
Why not?
because it's too gourmet for me. I will say this about Commander's. When people ask me about Commander's, here's how I feel about it. It is a beautiful restaurant.
Yeah.
It is in a class by itself in terms of welcoming you to eat there.
Yeah.
If you have never felt like the most important person in the world,
the most beautiful
I know where
person
you can remedy
the world
that.
As my dies out. Drinks the kids' door.
I'm glad you didn't say blood. Okay.
No, that's a wonderful song, except
yes,
I can't remember
yes.
the lyrics anymore.
Anyway, if you have not been to Commander's Palace and can afford to go there, it is something that I think that people should experience once for sure. If you love the food and want to go back, great. But if you have not had the feeling that you are a rock star and are likely to never feel that, Commander's will fix that for you. When you walk into Commander's Palace, you are greeted by literally a gauntlet of waiters who are there to make you feel like you are the most important person in the world. And it's quite something, you know?
And
it is.
You can, that's kind of a very human sort of relationship there of, hey, you've got to taste this. You're really going to love it. And we want you to have this. And, you know, all the things you just stated.
I don't find it pretentious at all. I find the wait staff to be very friendly, very welcoming, very approachable, very happy to engage you in your experience. And I think it is absolutely outstanding across the board. All that said, I'm not really a fan of the food.
Oh, well, I mean, that's not too
bad. I do love
bad.
The garlic bread.
But there are certain things that they do that they capture absolutely perfectly.
They do. So it's like the service. It's the service stratosphere.
For example, they have the best wine cellar in the New Orleans area. And if you just did that as a raw vintage checker, and a guy who goes back with a little pad and checks off everything and then adds it up at the end, it would still be number one by probably a huge
Well, that's
distance.
Dan Davis, who's really, really into what he does and very good at it.
Now, what is the Roy?
Dan Davis.
Dan Davis. Dan the, he's got a nickname.
Dan the wine guy.
Dan the wine guy, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's to take all the pretentiousness out of it, and he you know, you won't get that from
They
him.
Are incredibly approachable. I feel that I am very highly regarded and extremely welcome when I walk through the door of Commander's Palace.
Yeah. That's Commander's Palace. I think everybody knows where they are and what they're about. But I bring it in at the beginning. Not that way. They're not doing anything
today. Because it's Troy McPhail's birthday.
What? No, it isn't.
Because it's Troy McPhail's
birthday. Oh, it is his birthday. Yeah, that's right. But there were other things. I wound up starting to write in some other things about him. And he checks off in just about every category. So there's
I really like him.
Yeah, he's a very likable guy. He's always involved in the community. He's always turning up.
He's very cute. He's a really cute person.
He performed something in his kitchen once that I'm still thinking about. Now imagine this.
Oh, is this the egg thing?
The egg thing?
Where he had his like 25-minute shirred eggs or something, whatever that was.
No.
Go ahead.
Shirred eggs are good though. Most people don't know what they even are. You want to talk about that later?
No.
Or you want to do it now? How did I get there? Where
you said he did something in the kitchen.
Yeah. Yes. Before, you know, Commander's Palace was closed for almost 2 years after Hurricane Katrina. It was a real tough for them.
Redoing it in a most spectacular fashion.
Well, the big deal was that as they were doing their renovation, they started finding that there were some really needy areas of that old
building.
Well,
it is a very old building, yeah.
And they saw that they were going to have to do some very serious
God,
renovation.
I know that feeling.
I bet you do. But
and they have a lot more money than I do.
Go ahead. That would help, too. So they get in there, and they're getting down to the end. And I remember I was in there one night for some reason or another, and Tori was at one of his commercial
Wait a second. Tori McPhail was born in 1973.
Oh, that makes him kind of a child, all right.
No, it doesn't. It makes him a lot older than I thought he was. He looks like a kid. Yeah.
Well, he's a good-looking guy.
He is, and I mean, I'm extremely impressed. Yeah. Okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, they are Tori is in the main part of his kitchen. He's got all of his stoves and ovens and everything. They spent a lot of money on all of that. And he said, I'm going to show you just how much these are going to hold up. And he folded down the, what would you call that, the gateway or the door? What would it be, the opening on a on an oven. What would be the word for that?
Door.
Door. Okay. He folded the door down to a parallel, and then he actually stepped onto the oven opening and bounced it a little bit. I said, that's a kind of a risky thing to do with an oven, huh? He said, we want the best quality. And who would have thought that? I thought it was a kind of an oddball sort of thing, but it really made a good presentation, and
so
there he was.
So this was when they were renovating? They were testing out ovens by standing on them?
Just checking them, yeah. Huh. But folding it down, not one to stand on top of the thing, but he actually folded it down and was bouncing on it.
Gee, I thought the outer limit of an oven was what we're doing now and what Jude does in California, which is using it to store pans. I didn't realize you could also bounce on it.
You can't cook in
those, I didn't realize you could use it as like a bounce house, too. Okay, that's good to know.
Imagine that.
Good to know. 260-6368. I don't even know what we're talking about. So if you would like to join us, we would love to have you introduce some topics here.
Yeah. Top restaurants, we're always asking this question, what's the best restaurant? Period. And you can identify or...
Does it have to be here?
No. You can go somewhere else if you want to be.
Okay.
No?
Well, now let's qualify that because best restaurant, there are people that would say that Commander's Palace is the best restaurant. And you would say that Antoine's is not the best restaurant, but it's your personal favorite. So are we talking about your personal favorite? Hi, my baby.
I think you have
your personal favorite, or are you talking about the best restaurant? Because the best restaurant is a subjective thing that people might not necessarily admit is a subjective thing. This is the best restaurant. Says who? You.
Yeah.
So... I'm just saying that in my opinion, blah, 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 blah. I don't really know what the best restaurant would be in my opinion. I can tell you what my favorites are.
Yeah. Well, we're waiting.
Bottega Louie.
Oh, you like that place too?
My favorite restaurant in the whole wide world.
This place in Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
You're kidding.
My favorite.
You're hanging around with her too much.
My favorite. My favorite restaurant locally is Del Porto. I have said both of these things recently even.
Somebody asked me yesterday to go to Del Porto.
I did.
Yeah, and I don't know. As a guy, I know, but he said I.
So.
Well,
I'm going to throw out a topic unless you
throw
have
it out. If it's that bad, let's throw it out.
Well, you're going to think it's pretty bad.
Well, we'll find out.
We had a feature in NoMenu.com today.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing.
Did it depict something very intriguing?
Well, I thought so. But I've been doing this series about breakfast.
Me too. That's funny that you should be.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm not insinuating anything.
Yeah. So insinuations
are getting more and more expensive, by the way.
Yeah. I've been going to different places. And Mary Lee and I were talking about this series that I'm doing. It's called Eat Your Breakfast. Uh-huh. And what I've discovered about breakfast is that there's really only a couple of places that I would get excited to go to breakfast in.
Yeah.
And... there are a lot of places that I don't care one way or the other about going to breakfast in. Those are much more plentiful. So I decided to introduce something today in NoMenu.com, which was a different kind of feature, which is going to, I think, become kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a lot of eating, as you know. Out.
Heck, I'm doing it. Boy, a lot of it.
And I just can't eat that much. So I've gotten to the point where I'll eat a couple of bites and bring the rest home. Mm-hmm. And so we have a tremendous amount of leftovers in our house.
Yeah.
And so I decided the other day that I was going to take some of these leftovers and make them into gourmet meals from home. So today in nomenu.com, there is a thing that I made for you yesterday or the day before, which was a breakfast sandwich fashioned out of leftovers. And
Flash oven leftovers.
Yeah.
Join us today as we
go. So then that kind of got me fired up because it was really cool and it was good. And so I made you today some French toast out of bread that we had in the refrigerator from Bellegarde. And I'm glad you're still alive.
By the way, if you want to turn that into...
Not because of Bellegarde, because of the buttermilk that I used. Go ahead, what?
Oh, the buttermilk?
Yeah, we have like 16 different buttermilks, and I don't know
what is that all?
I don't know, but I have to go through them and get rid of them. But anyway, so I made this French toast today for you, and then I was wondering how that was going to go over, and I got an email when I came back today, which was talking about, I would love to see more of this kind of thing because I have leftovers and I would like to do stuff like this. So if you have, let's play a little game.
If you
have leftovers in your refrigerator from a favorite restaurant that's now, like, for example, I'm going to do this with a piece of pork that we got at Lafitte the other day, which was a delicious restaurant. Tom had a fantastic double-cut pork chop and only ate half of it.
Oysters.
And so the big wonk of pork came home, and it's sitting in the refrigerator. And I'm not going to give that to the dog because it's gorgeous and it's too good for that. No offense, puppy, but you get a lot of other stuff that you don't care quite as much about. So I'm going to slice this pork. And I'm going to take one of your endless bags of sliced chisaisi that you get at the... Do you know how many bags of those I gave to the dog the other day, by the way? Untouched? Four.
Four of them?
Like $12 worth of chisaisi sliced ham.
It's a shame, isn't it?
It is.
We live in such
it
a...
It is. So I'm going to take some of that ham from one of those bags and slice the pork and a piece of the Bellegarde bread that's in there. And I am going to make a pretty scrumptious Cuban sandwich out of that.
And cooked, so it's really cooked and just kind of sizzled around the edges maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to sear it in the iron skillet and then I'm going to press it like you press it, although it's going to be tough to do that with Bellegarde. That's pretty stiff bread. But I've got the Bellegarde from the party the other night. I've got the pork from Lafitte the other day. I've got your endless amount of ham and cheese. We've got pickles. We've got mustard. That is going to be a great Cuban sandwich. So if you have stuff like that in your refrigerator and you would like to make some gourmet meal out of it, call us and we'll talk about what you can do with whatever it is that you have in your refrigerator. Because I was starting to think this could be fun. This could be fun. I'm going to get some grits the next time we go to breakfast, and instead of just leaving the grits like I always do, I'm going to take them home. I'm going to slice them up into grit fries and sear them and use that with another breakfast.
Yeah, it might work.
It's going to be fun.
After all, if you're going to pop this in the pan at some point along the way, you have no real safety issue worth talking about. Some of it is a little less than nice looking because the fat can come out of the slices of ham, and that's a little slimy. But even that will not, unless you've really treated it badly, will, you know, be...
Well, those are going to the dog, as they did the other day. Okay. But I'm talking about the ham that you just bought a day or two ago that in a week is going to go to the dog. I'm going to take that and put it with the pork in an iron skillet and make a delicious Cuban sandwich. Right now in your refrigerator, whoever is listening, in your refrigerator, I'll bet you have some sort of amalgam of leftovers that we can repackage into some gourmet meals. So if you would like to call up, let's just play a little leftovers game.
And see what we come up with.
Yeah. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. You are listening to WWLFM 105.3 HD2.
Yes, and it's Tuesday. I assume this asserts us as actually being on the air now. Okay. This is The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and it's wonderful to be here with you talking about food, even when something unusual happens, because half the time it's something I caused anyway. So 260-6368. Doug, you there? Just let us know.
He's there.
Well, I don't hear or nothing.
Okay, let me turn up your headset a little bit.
Oh, is that my problem?
You have to have your headset really, really loud.
Okay. Hey,
then,
can you
hear
me?
Is that better? Because you turn up my headset, so then I'll put them on. They go, whoa. All right, 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. We are talking about, really nothing.
Well, I wouldn't go that
like
far.
It's like darting all around on food. But I threw out the idea of leftovers and repackaging them into gourmet meals. If you would like our assistance in that, it might be a fun little game we could play. But there are lots of other things that we can talk about, too. Where is my little cheat sheet? The little cheat sheet about what day it is today and all that. We can pretty much get a whole show out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
somebody, Tom, possible. What's the Warwick Hotel?
The Warwick Hotel is in the general vicinity of City Hall. And
Where was it?
I couldn't tell you exactly, but that's the general area. There's also one in Houston.
No, somebody sent an email about a restaurant that was in the Warwick Hotel. The next break, I'll go get my phone and have a look at it. But he wanted to know something about the restaurant that used to be in the Warwick Hotel. I think he might have been inspired by that book that you had yesterday that you found that you were talking about with these restaurants that were, you know, the old restaurants,
the
oldest restaurants in America or something like that. That book that you found, what was it?
The oldest restaurants in America or something like that.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to read some?
No, I haven't looked at it at all.
It's
been running all day as usual. You know where I went to lunch today? I went to...
Tell me.
It's almost getting to be the sponsor of the unofficial mascot of the show.
I went to Girlando's. Yeah, Girlando's.
Yeah, and had Dobe.
Ah, Dobe is something
Dobe
you used to see everywhere
spaghetti.
You used to go, but not anymore.
Yeah, where's the eat book that you have over there? Reach for the eat book. I want to see if you have it in there. It's to your
book.
Left. To your left. To your left there. The blue one, Tom. The blue
one.
Yes. Pull that out. I want to see if you have
the
one next to it. Okay, never mind. Dobe and spaghetti is something. Is that only something that you see here? Is Dobe a uniquely New Orleans thing?
It is used for other things in other places.
Is it called Dobe there?
Dobe, yeah. And there are actually two different ways you can do it here in New Orleans, which are really different from one another.
Red gravy and brown gravy.
Basically, that's it, but it's even a little more than that. You've got red gravy, and you put your sliced beef in it. You cook it down all together, and this is your adventure in...
Now, I've never had it with slices. I've always had it chunked.
But here's the other part of it.
Okay.
This comes up mostly during the holidays, and it mostly happens as cold, and it's almost like a pate, but it's made out of beef, and it's that there's a gel quality.
Is that brisket? It's called Dobe glacé, right?
Dobe glacé, right? The glacé is the indication that it's cold.
Okay, but is brisket called Dobe in New Orleans only, or are other people calling brisket Dobe, and why do they call it Dobe?
Well, the people who like it fold it over and put in a pot with red sauce and let it cook for a while. Like Tony's Spaghetti House used to do that. It was a major specialty of theirs.
Yeah.
And they would run out huge quantities of this stuff. But you don't have to do it that way, and the other way is no less authentic.
What, the brown or the Dobe glacé?
The Dobe glacé that you're...
Now, Dobe glacé is something that you used to see at Maley's for sure.
Maybe.
And who else? Two Jacks.
Them, but probably the place you ran into it most often was at dinner parties and events during the holidays and that kind of thing. It would be like it's somewhat
like a hogshead cheese
it
thing.
It almost resembles hogshead cheese,
but it's not in a gelatin, is it? Is it in a gelatin?
It can be, but it doesn't have to be.
So it's not okay. So hogshead cheese has spices and pork tidbits in a gelatin.
Yeah.
And daube glacé, I've seen, but never noticed that it had a lot of gelatin around it. I've always seen daube glacé as more like just sliced brisket with a little sort of edge of gelatin.
Well, again, I tell you, it can be either way, and you're legitimate both ways. And it's good both ways, too,
but very different. Does anyone still make it anywhere? Like, I know that Maria Terranova would be my first guess.
Yeah, the Terranova's for
sure. Because she does a great, great hogshead cheese. Yeah. But now, what is anybody doing, like, a daube glacé that you could buy?
Dornex and Langenstein's, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Places like
that. Like, you could go to their deli and say, I need some daube glacé.
Yeah, but it depends on what time of year it is. If it's July and August, they'll probably say, "Huh?" if you go there in October, and it's I tell you, the big pot, and if you see it that way, everybody just looks at it as totally normal, and this is seasonal, and that's.
Do you like daube glacé?
Oh yeah, it's really good.
Do you like daube and spaghetti?
I do. Yeah.
Which one do you like better?
Good
I don't
question.
Get daube glacé. I don't get daube glacé. Daube glacé kind of weirds me out.
Yeah, you have to serve it a certain way at a certain spot.
I mean, I love hogshead cheese. I really love hogshead cheese.
Yeah.
But daube glacé is kind of weird to me. Oh, I don't know why you would do that.
I am I'm troubled by wondering whether we actually have a producer at the moment, and if so...
Oh, no, not that again.
What? Because we're sending him enough, but I don't know if he might not be hearing us.
Dope, say hey... I mean, not Dope, Doug.
No, we'll give you enough of that later.
Doug, say hello to Tom, please. I don't hear him.
This is
trouble. Why must I say hello to Tom?
One must...
Okay, you know, we're going to take another
break. Here's the deal,
break.
I'm sitting here minding my own business, and all of a sudden you hear, say hello to Tom. Why?
Because Tom's nervous about you being there, Doug. It's like you're his Jiminy Cricket, and if you're not there, he doesn't know what's going to sit on his shoulder. Who knows? Like probably a cat or something.
Well, if I was over there and I was over here, I would be nervous too.
All right, we're going to take a break. 260-6368 is the number. 260-MENU. You are listening to 105.3 FM WWL.
There isn't only one of it. You know, I've been looking, and I'm kind of shocked to see
I'm nervous to see that I don't see it anywhere because that may be the last copy that we have. But anyway, we were looking for the Eat Book, which is a wonderful book that Tom published many years ago. Well, actually, you were publishing it right as we got married, so it would have been 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I... You know, I don't forgive you for much.
No kidding. I mean,
but you forgive me for a lot of things.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know. I think I might have killed me if I had done what, if you had done what I had done, I might have killed you.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, now we must know.
Well, you know, when you had me, I think I offered to. Proofread your Eat Book as it was about to go to print.
Ooh, what a challenge that was.
Yeah, but do you remember that I erased an entire section of it?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, never mind then. Forget I said that. I remember now why you're paranoid every time I go near your computer. I mean, I could totally see that. I mean, I literally did erase a huge section of this wonderful book. Anyway, the Eat book is something that Tom has talked about redoing for as long as I've been around. And it's really a pity because you have not done that. I mean, you've been busy with other things, but it's too bad because it is a really good book. But I would, if I had the Eat book, I would look up Dobe, because the purpose of the Eat book was to go through the letters of the alphabet and put every food item known to man in each letter and the best places in town to get said whatever. So I know that if I looked up Dobe in the Eat book, I'd be able to find places that if they're still in existence, that where you could get good dough. But I don't ever really look for dough. It's something my mom used to make.
Yeah, it's an old-timing thing. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and it's – but, I mean, there are a lot of people who still really, really like it, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, and it's good. It's like it's meat and spaghetti and red sauce. I mean, how far wrong can you go with that?
No, not far.
But this was good. It was – it was old-timey. It had the little hint of sweetness to it.
Aha.
Ta-da! We found it. Oh, praise be. Anyway, let's look and see if there's a
Dobe.
If there's a Dobe in it. Anyway, so I'm looking. I went to go get this other book and also saw a Rouse's, their little house magazine that they give out at the checkout. And it had various things that looked good, which is why I took it. And then I just opened it up to, guess what it was, the first thing I saw?
The phone book.
Stuffed artichokes.
Ooh.
It's my holy grail. I love stuffed artichokes. And it's a recipe for stuffed artichokes, but I'm sure they wouldn't be as good as my mother's. My mother, when she did cook, she was quite a good cook.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still looking in here for Dobe in the Eat book.
Oh, really?
Flagons just came by. Flagons, I just
they're an alpha. The whole book is in alphabetical order. So
well, that's what I just said. Yeah, yeah, it's like it's if you wanted to find a certain. Oh my gosh, this thing is really out of date. But I mean, it was 30 years ago.
Oh.
You know, a lot of these places are gone now. Of course, a lot of them are still there too. Quarter Two Sisters is one that I'm looking at right now. But I'm sure that there would be an entry for Dobe here.
Oh,
actually,
I'm surprised
wrong.
That there isn't.
There isn't. There isn't.
Hmm.
No, this is kind of like a restaurant. It's
on wheels.
No, it's. I'm gonna have to look at it a little bit more. I thought you had entries for various kinds of food and also restaurants. But it looks to me what I've seen just now is like mostly restaurants. It's like an alphabetical listing of restaurants. If you could go through your restaurant list on nomenu.com, this would be a printed version of that.
I don't think so. I think it's the recipes are kind of small number in number.
Well, anyway.
But And it would be, you would be right in saying that it's way out of whack in terms of...
Well, it's a long time ago.
1990.
You know, a really long time ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, anybody like Dobe would love to hear if you have found a good Dobe in town, or if you think Dobe is something that should go the way, I don't know, whatever else is really, really out of date, because it is definitely out of date. I went there looking for a club sandwich because it was torrential rain and I had to go to the house.
How's the club sandwich
at Porter and Luke is my pinnacle. And so Mary Lee said, well, you know, Girolando's has a club sandwich too. You should try it. So when I asked about it, I learned that their club sandwich is on French bread. And somehow or another, that is not, it was like, because I think of a club sandwich as having to be on toast, having to be, to me, a classic club has three slices of bread, and it's cut into quarters, and it's stuffed with ham, cheese, turkey, and bacon, and lettuce, and tomato. And if you don't have that, to me, it's not a classic club.
Well,
what?
His own self Uh-oh, it's one of those moments where I can't remember somebody's name.
Whoever invented the club? Is that what you're about to say?
No.
Who did invent the club?
I don't know, but this particular guy is very highly thought of, and it is James Beard. And James Beard said that there is no turkey in a club sandwich. It's chicken.
Yes, you've said that a few times. And yeah. You know what I say to James Beard? Phooey.
I don't know. I had lunch with him once, and I'm hoping, well, he's long
and,
gone.
Yeah,
now.
And what about that? Good for you, but what about that?
It was at the Roosevelt. No, it wasn't either. It was in the the place on the corner of St. Charles Avenue and...
Oh, that's right. It was a clubhouse sandwich. It was some club in New York City. That's what it was, because I looked it up once before. Now, according to this, it says turkey or chicken. But
well, James Beard said that there was only one of that, one of those, and that thing was chicken, he said. But there were a lot of things that he said that made me wonder, why does he want to serve that? And I never could dope it out.
Well, because he was James Beard, and because people listened to him just because he was James Beard, but that doesn't necessarily make it
thank
right.
Thank goodness for that not happening for other people.
I know. 260-6368 is the number. You know, we can just talk about absolutely nothing at all.
We can.
I mean, it's kind of shocking.
32 years of doing this show, essentially that is what it has always been. And we can shift something here.
Go ahead.
And we're going to shift this very dramatically, and it's one of those moments where I wish that we were not radio, that I wish we had a television that we
were on. Oh, I am so glad that we do not. But anyway, go ahead.
I'm not a TV kind of guy. I'm not even close. I was going through a bunch of old magazines that I had and digging out old ads, which are just fascinating to me.
Yes.
And then...
Yeah, I mean, this has been a fun show lately because you've been finding all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, get a load of this one. This is the backside here. It's a strip of a magazine, obviously a big magazine, or else it wouldn't be this long, and it's in color, so, you know, this said something also. And so I cut this piece out, and it exclaimed or explained something that a lot of people know about, but they aren't hooked into it. Here it is. Get a load of that outlay of food here. There's a table that is loaded with food here.
It's probably all weird food, too, huh?
Not quite, because this was right between the time when the old teapotaries and the new teapotaries went away. I'm just going to read this. This is Tom Pateri, Jr. of Teapotaries. That would be him. And I run into him every now and then at Keith Young's Steakhouse. He goes over there and once in a while. And I always try to get the lobster cadobster put on the menu, but it never is. Okay, Tom Pateri, Jr. of T. Pateri's. He is following his father's footsteps at one of the country's great restaurateurs and a creator of the most distinctive gourmet food in New Orleans. Come to T. Pateri's, where the food is different. Lordy, was that true? The whites underneath food is different.
This is an ad. Folks.
Yeah, it is an ad. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. This service unsurpassed anywhere, they claim. And that's because of Tom Jr. My heart beat just a little bit harder, not for because I'm Tom. But anyway, and his father's personal touch, which was really something. I've had dinner with his father a couple of times, and he was...
And James Beard at the same time? Or?
No, okay. No. This is a restaurant that is very famous around people who have been in New Orleans for a long time, both as people who visited the city or who live here. And I wish there were some way we could get into a time machine and look at this place. Look at this place. Look at the food in this photograph. I wish we could put this on TV. It's amazing, isn't it?
Looks like an Instagram picture. Anyway, before Instagram. Yeah, before Instagram was popular. You know what I miss, if I had to say I really, really, really miss something that will not be back?
Yeah.
But I wish it would. I miss Manuel's hot tamales.
Oh, everybody likes that. I remember my last shot at it was when my son Jude was he was a freshman at Jesuit, which is a block away from where.
It was a block away.
It was, and we got in there and did the grease with.
But it'll never. You could not do that again.
You couldn't get Danielle.
You couldn't find people to roll tamales all day again.
No.
I don't think so.
I did it myself once.
Yeah, it was horrible, wasn't it?
No, what it was very calming.
It was therapeutic. That's right. Well, maybe you could, because they had all those women that were sitting in that little room.
Yeah, just popping.
And they just were probably talking year after year after year after year. They were talking and rolling and rolling and talking. But I wonder who even has the recipes. Does anybody know the ad? Because
well,
the Martinez's.
No,
no, I know. But the Martinez's, the Martinez family, was behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Katrina happened, and it was flooded, of course, because of where it was. And then nothing ever came of it again. And I know that, I don't know, maybe the recipe was on the ground floor and it got flooded too. But no one ever, it's like, you know, Hubik's Pies is coming back.
Mm.
And he's been basically squabbling in court for the last several years. And
yeah,
now there
sides.
Was something in the news recently about the governor getting involved in this. And they have prevailed.
For lack of something to do.
No. The what's his name? Drew Ramsey. Drew Ramsey did prevail in the lawsuit and is planning to reopen, although not at the same location.
Mm.
But you know, he's been talking about reopening, and people have been wanting him to reopen, and it's been something that was just sort of inevitable at some point. No one's ever said that about Manuals. I wonder why.
Oh, I've heard it.
You've heard people say that?
Yeah, a lot of people say, boy, that's going to come back someday. I know it. I said, well, good luck, because it's to duplicate that would be pretty difficult. Or maybe not. I don't know. I think it easy enough to just do it by myself.
Yeah, but this is a special recipe, and it really would take a certain... I mean, you would have to have the recipe pretty exactly,
oh, sure,
just to get
yeah.
the grease component, if nothing
Ooh,
else.
Wow, you could
and
lubricate cars with
it. I wonder how well that would be received today, because times have changed a lot. And it used to be where you would look at that big football of... greasy newspaper and get excited that you were going to eat the tamales inside. Mm. But, you know, it's not like that anymore. And I wonder how many people would think, what in the world am I doing eating this grease?
Since we're bringing such matters up, why don't we just go ahead and ask for it? And so if you found out that you just could run about a mile and a half where you could get some Hubig's pies and Manuel's hot tamales. And that is available, and there's plenty of them there, so you go over there and try them out and see. What would you do that right now? I mean, within the next half hour, let's say.
Well, I've learned that Manuel's is called a Delta tamale, which is not something I knew before.
You know, the minute I read that, I said, I know what these guys are saying. Not that I'm all that smart, but in this case I was. Because back a long, long time when I was a lonely, goofy little guy, I was taking a vacation that began in New Orleans and ended in Des Moines,
Iowa.
No,
let's not go there.
Okay,
Just that's where it was. You don't have to say why.
My first stop was
Greenville? Was it Greenville? No, it was Greenville. Greenwood. Is it Greenwood or Greenville?
No, you had it right the first time. Okay. Greenville. And that's how they said it.
Okay. Is Greenville where Doe's Eat Place is?
That's where Doe's Eat Place was. And the other things they had there were steaks, seafood gumbo, and there was one other thing. And that was it.
I know.
That's
it's really strange, isn't
had.
It?
That's all they had. And when you
how
went
old
there,
was that place?
I don't know, but it had a long time on
I mean,
heels.
It's kind of legendary.
It was. And the way you would order was really interesting. You'd walk up to the counter. And by the way, if you wanted a steak, you would just make the dining room, and there were steaks in all the refrigerators, so you could open them up and say, I want one of these.
No, come on.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Wait, you would open a refrigerator and say, give me the steak?
Yeah, show me this one. I'll take
what a bizarre place.
It was, but they thought it was totally normal. So the other thing that happened right after that is on my way out, I saw they had this big chart that said hot tamales, 12 for $6. And on this panel, it went on to go hot tamales, $14 for $7. Anyway, if you can figure it out better than I can, they never give you a break. You could buy six of them. You could buy 12. You could buy 24. You could get 24,000. They would never give you a break on the price.
They actually have a website.
And these were.
It's a shack.
Hot tamales, kind of along the lines of the ones that you had at Pascal's Manali.
Wait, so, they won a James Beard Award, too.
I'm not Pascal's Manali.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I'm confused.
Did you hear that?
Who?
They
what?
Won a James Beard Award, too, so.
Yeah. Well, there you are.
And all kinds of other awards. So from 2007, James Beard American Classic Award in 2007. But it's a little shack.
That's all it was. Cash only. It was on Nelson
Street.
I bet
you these people are loaded.
Everybody brought their own booze. Yeah, you couldn't.
Really? Because it doesn't look like a place where.
you couldn't get a drink there, though. You could go in there.
No, of course not. I mean, it looks
like. You bring
like
your own liquor, and then you make your own drinks. And they would.
What was. I'm trying to figure out what the point of this place is. Just pick it up, Tom. Just pick it up and put it back down again. Pick it up, put it down. There we go.
Little phone ringing.
Yeah. That's a strange, strange place. And one of these days I would like to get there. But
Greenville?
Yeah. Well, I would go and stay at the Alluvium now. Alluvian now, because that's the home of Viking.
That's right. And it also is a place where they have a widespread culture there. They have all of
celebrities?
No, these people were.
It's one of those things like Uglesiches, where people would fly their private jets in and go to this dump of a place, and then, you know.
Well, these people.
Strange.
There's a word I want to use, but I can't think of it. So.
Well, I have no idea what it is, so I can't help you with it.
I appreciate
it. 260-6368. We have spent the hour talking about absolutely nothing.
I don't know about that.
And would like to
blues.
Talk to.
That's what it was. You went to that part of Mississippi that had the all of those things that we've just been talking about.
Uh-huh.
That was the headquarters of the blues performers.
Doe's Eat Place? Just that area.
Everything was just incorporated into one essence.
Yeah. Interesting.
We will come back with more of the food show. And I hope you have some.
Well, obviously, no one's interested in my brilliant ideas for repackaging and purposing their leftovers. But that's on the table too, in case you go look in your refrigerator and see.
Make sure you come back for table two.
Yes.
And we will